the Science or Not of Dog Training podcast.
Certified applied animal behaviorists take an objective look at claims about scientific dog training. Your hosts, Dr. Danny Steph
and Dr. Suzanne Hetz. Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Suzanne Hetz.
And Dr. Danny Stepp. Welcome.
And we are certified applied animal behaviorists. And our topic today is about the term impulse control in dogs.
And impulsivity.
And impulsivity. It seems like this is a new label for all sorts of unwanted behaviors in dogs. And what we want to talk about in this broadcast is that we don't think that there is good scientific evidence for labeling all these behaviors, as we've calling them, a plethora of behaviors, sort of indiscriminately as dogs having impulse control problems. And in fact, our tenet is going to be that there are some dangers in doing so. And it seems like that when we get on blogs and websites and stuff, that we see a lot of people writing about dogs having impulse control problems anytime a dog does something his owner doesn't want him to do, or if a dog, or if somebody's told the dog to do something else and he does what he wants to do anyway. So that impulse control problems are equated to self-control in dogs.
Right, right. And so if you've got a dog that you've put on a downstay and you want him to stay for 10 minutes and he breaks after 5 minutes, then he's got an impulse control problem.
Well, and even simpler than that, if he dashes through the door rather than sitting and waiting for the permission to go through, he has an impulse control problem. If he grabs at food rather than being given the okay, he has an impulse control problem. If he jumps on visitors, if he chases squirrels when instead of coming back to the owner, if he lunges at other dogs on leash, dogs that bite have been said to have impulse control problems.
And that's a big one, and that's been a big issue as to whether or not it's related to aggression and other kinds of serious behavior problems, but even barking excessively.
Yeah, and it seems like any time that a dog does something that his owner doesn't want him to do, or doesn't do what the owner wants him to do instead, then he gets labeled as having an impulse control problem. And in fact, some of the solutions for impulse control problems are nothing more than training the dog to wait, training the dog to lay down, training the dog to sit and stay. So how is that different from just teaching basic manners, or used to be called basic obedience? Why all of a sudden is now these are impulse control problems rather than just a lack of training or a dog being more motivated to do one thing than another?
Exactly. And I guess really the issue is how all of this, these issues we just described, are related to really serious pathologies. Because in human medicine, of course, human psychology, psychiatry, people talk about impulse control problems with regard to a variety of different kinds of psychopathologies. And in fact, they've begun to talk about those kinds of problems in dogs as well, talking about aggression problems as being basically impulse control problems. And so that a dog that has an impulse control problem is likely to have an aggression problem, and vice versa.
So, but some of these other behaviors that get labeled as impulse control problems, jumping on people, snatching food, door dashing, those are not psychopathology type of behaviors. They're just normal behaviors, and the dogs haven't been trained, or maybe are slightly more difficult to train, to do something else, to inhibit themselves. But a lack of inhibition or getting dogs to inhibit what they want themselves to do, where has that ever been described, or how do we know that's a psychopathology? I don't think it is.
Well, that's a really good point. It's just what's the connection here between these kinds of inappropriate behaviors, as we're talking about them, and true psychopathologies? And that's the connection that we don't think is really there, and that would really have to be made before you could start talking about dogs that won't sit for 10 minutes when you tell them to as having a psychopathology.
So, you know, here again, we're all about talking about making dog training more science-based, and it seems like that the I don't know, maybe the tendency is to pick these fancier terms, impulse control, that on the surface makes it sound as though we're talking about something science-based, when in reality, in this case, in our opinion, it's just the opposite. There is no good scientific rationale for labeling dogs who chase squirrels or jump on people or get easily aroused as impulse control problems and therefore psychopathology behaviors.
Right.
Psychopathologic behaviors.
And the example that, you know, we can most easily think about is a dog that we had for a number of years named Ashley, a Dalmatian, who had all of these kinds of problems that we've just been talking about. She barked excessively. She would door dash. She jumped on people when they came to the door. You know, we worked with her for years, you know, to try to change that behavior with limited success. And in some situations, she was a whole lot better than in other situations. But she never had an aggression problem with people or with other dogs. And to say then that this dog who some people might label as having an impulse control problem with regard to a lot of her inappropriate behaviors is therefore going to be aggressive or have a tendency to be aggressive just doesn't pan out.
Because we'll get to that in a minute. But Ashley was difficult to train. It was difficult to get her to do something that if she was highly motivated to do something else. So if you tried to teach her not to jump on people at the door, to get her to sit instead, that was a hard thing to teach her. And in fact, we ultimately resorted to getting her to chase a ball when people would come to the door rather than getting her to sit still. And that often worked really well. She chased the ball a few times and then she could sit. But there was nothing, in my opinion, pathological about that behavior, or even maladaptive, which is another thing that impulse control behaviors are supposed to be, when you talk about how the term is used in the human psychiatric literature.
Right, right. And there's actually some recent research coming out of Brian Hare's laboratory, Bray was the first author on it, in which they looked at three different tests of impulsivity, laboratory tests of impulsivity with dogs, and then looked at the correlations between the dog's scores on those three different tests. And what they found was that those things weren't necessarily correlated. That is, how well a dog could inhibit his behavior in one circumstance didn't necessarily predict how well he was going to inhibit his behavior in another circumstance. So we may not even be talking about the same underlying principle here, but different sorts of things or different sorts of mechanisms that control these different aspects of behavior.
Well, we can even think about Coral. If we ask her to stop barking or to get back or, you know, leave us alone or get off the couch or whatever, she complies with that really easily. It's very easy to get her to do that. To change her focus from a bird or a rabbit is much more difficult to do. So when you start applying these labels to behaviors, there has to be some solid rationale for discriminating why something is an impulse control problem and something else is not. And that's not happened in the way this term is getting used, partly for the reason that you just mentioned, that it's context specific in terms of how easy dogs can inhibit themselves. But the way that the term is being used, if the dog does anything the owner doesn't want him to do or it is difficult to get him to stop, then all of a sudden he has an impulse control problem.
And the real question, the bottom line is how does that help us, that is using that label, how does that help us to either understand the behavior of dogs any better or to help us change it?
And until there's been more research done to see if some of the brain chemistries in some of these dogs are actually different or abnormal, then when we look at recommendations for dealing with, quote, impulse control problems, it's nothing more than training. It's nothing more than training the dog to do something different, usually using reward-based training, but depending on who you read, not always. So it goes back to this, we would have done that anyway if we would have labeled these behaviors as not being well-trained or a lack of manners or whatever. They go back to training.
Exactly.
And the downside that we see, again, in human literature, these are psychopathologies, which makes them medical problems, which then means that if dogs truly have equivalent impulse control problems or disorders, as the term is used in human medicine, then that makes all these dogs having a medical problem that requires medical intervention. And I don't think that that's where we want this discussion to lead. Because many of these dogs, if we look at their bigger picture of their lives, say they come out of a crate after being crated all day, and they're all wild and crazy and jumping all over people, and they get labeled as having an impulse control problem. That's not what's going on necessarily. It's their lifestyle and normal behaviors and need to be considered, and what the dog needs to be behaviorally healthy, not that he needs to be medicated because he has an impulse control problem.
Right, right.
So what's the take-home message here?
Well, I think the take-home message is that we need to be really careful about how we use the terminology. All of us want to be better science-based trainers and behavior consultants and even owners. But throwing around terminology like this that has very specific meaning in human medicine may not be the way that we want to do that.
Unless we have a good scientific rationale for doing so. And right now, with the state of the art research, it isn't there.
It isn't there.
So labeling behaviors as impulse control problems without having a scientific basis for doing so does not add to being science-based in our training. If you'd like more information about impulsivity and what it means, both in people and in dogs, as well as other common labels that we've seen used applied to dog behavior problems recently, we have a webinar in our Behavior Education Network membership site called Reactivity, Impulsivity, ADHD, and PTSD in Animals, Fact, Fiction, or Fad. Check out Behavior Education Network at behavioreducationnetwork.com. And as a new member, you have access to well over 80 webinars, including this one on reactivity and impulsivity in dogs. And if you're really interested in learning about the science behind dog training, we have a whole certificate course with over 15 hours of instruction called the Professional System for Understanding and Applying Canine Behavior Science, available to you at AppliedAnimalBehaviorAcademy.com. Continue to read our science-based dog training blog, and we hope to have you with us in one of our educational programs again real soon in the future. Bye-bye.